What is up, guys? Welcome back to episode 117 of the Rip City Rundown podcast. We're back in the official Rip City Rundown studio in person for the first time in a while. Just the two of us once again. No Cody. If you want to see him, go watch our TikToks. He'll be back on the podcast in the near future for a couple before the draft. And as the offseason goes on, West, what are we doing today? If you saw by the title, it's a lot of draft stuff.
Yes, today we are doing our first mock draft for the 2024 NBA draft, which takes place June 26th and June 27th. It's a two-day event now, actually. We're going to do our first mock draft. Our second one is going to be probably in about a month. The first mock draft is more of an opening kind of field out right now. Like, this is without trades. Like, who knows what's going to happen on draft night with trades. This is if every team drafted in their spot, who we think each team will pick based on positional fit, and then also just what teams like and how these guys are looking in the NBA Combine, which is kind of going on around right now. So the second mock draft we do in a month will probably be a little more accurate. This is kind of the initial feel it out one. Blazers, like we said, if you want to see our reaction to the lottery, you can go back on Spotify or YouTube and watch those. That was episode, I believe, 116 and 115. This is 117. But yeah, Blazers are picking 7 and 14. Also got two early second round picks. For the sake of time, we're only going to project the lottery for our mock draft. Maybe at the end, we'll give a couple names on who the second round guys could be. Those are a little more volatile. Those could change. Freaking Bronny could get drafted. We could draft Bronny if we wanted to. I'm kidding. But anything you want to say before? So I wrote down, or I have my list. We kind of put our heads together. I'll talk to you. I'll ask you if you agree, disagree with what I did, and then we can discuss anything you want to say before I go.
Stay tuned for the end of the video. Once we do this quick mock draft, I will go ahead, and I assume you will too. We didn't necessarily prep for this, but go ahead and give just kind of the top five guys we want the Blazers to draft. Yeah. Maybe some guys we don't want them to draft, and then maybe some sleeper guys we hope to get at 14, or sleeper guys we could get at 7. So we'll do the more Blazer-specific stuff near the end, but right now this is just the full mock draft. Obviously, the Blazers have two picks, so they're going to be a big topic of discussion.
Right, and again, this is strictly if the draft happened without trades. So, for example, who knows? The Blazers could package 7 and 14 to go get number 2. I wouldn't advise that, but if they really liked a guy, they could do that. With that being said, here we go. At number 1, of course, this is probably the unanimous number 1 pick. I would think it's Alexander Sarr. And I wrote down some notes for these guys, but Sarr, to me, not to me, this is what he is. He's 7'1 center. He's got all the measurables.
To me, he's 7'1.
Yeah, to me, 7'1. Maybe to y'all, he's 6'11. We've seen the heights at the NBA Combine be a little sus, but he is a 7'1 center who has the measurables, extremely rangy and mobile. He kind of reminds me of like an Evan Mobley or a Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, he's got that defensive upside. Great defensive switchability. He can score from all three levels. I think he's projected to be able to do that. Three-point shot is currently suspect, but the reason why he's going number 1 is because he has the size and he also can do it on both ends. Do you think Sarr goes 1?
I think if there's any guarantee in this draft, it's Sarr going 1. I don't even have him as a guy I want the Blazers to take, just for the fact that I think it's pretty guaranteed he goes 1 and the Blazers aren't going to have an opportunity for him. So I really don't think there's much else to be said about the first pick. The second pick, I think, is where you could go anyway.
Oh my gosh.
I'm curious to see what you have, because I think they go... Actually, I want to hear what you have first.
Yeah, okay. So, first of all, welcome to the draft now when the second pick starts. Because it's going to be Sarr, and then after this, I mean, it could be 5... It could be 8, 9 guys, really, depending on what the Wizards want to do. For me, I have them taking... It's Zachary, but it's probably pronounced differently in French. Zachary Risacher, okay? He's a 6'9 wing, can really shoot it and defend. Low-key, he's French. I feel like he's got
He's French?
No. Is he not just French? No, sorry. He's French. Low-key reminds me of Batum.
Okay.
Like, could be better than Batum, but kind of that glue guy on the wing, but he's probably more athletic than Batum was. Good ball handling, but not an explosive athlete. I literally wrote Batum, maybe?
When I think of Risacher, by the way, I think Wizards is obviously a team that has plenty of holes. So I could see them going guard. I could see them going Topic. I'm not going to sit here and say I know a ton about Topic because he's obviously overseas. I'm not going to sit here and say I know a ton about Risacher. I know more about him than Topic because obviously he's a guy I think the Blazers could get. I see shades of MPJ. I just see, if I put a player comp out there, I'm just going to say I think he could be MPJ. And if that's who he is, I would love the Blazers to take him.
And that's a good point, because I feel like a lot of people that get drafted here are going to be high-end role guys, maybe third or fourth options. I think Risau Sher can be an MPJ type. I think he'll probably... The shooting is there right now, but again, like, he plays overseas. It's a different speed at the NBA level. I don't anticipate him being as much of an absolute laser that MPJ is, but he's definitely going to be better on the defensive end than Michael Porter Jr. Not saying MPJ is bad. It's not what he's known for. Okay, by the way, the Wizards could go anyone there. That's who I have them taking just for the upside. The Rockets at three, I have them taking Reed Shepherd right now.
I think I like that.
And here's why. Reed Shepherd is a guy who can shoot the lights out, and I feel like he's got good IQ. He's a better athlete than people give him credit for. He was actually like tied for the highest jump at the combine I saw. Pure Kentucky, which, by the way, that matters. Good track record for Kentucky guards. You see like Fox, you see Jamal Murray, you see, I don't know, who else is out
Shea.
There? Shea's a great one.
Book.
Book, exactly. So even like Maxey, like there's a lot of Kentucky guards, and Shepherd to me is a guy who can contribute right away. I know the Rockets, you would think they don't need a guard with this like Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet thing, but you got to start looking to the future. I could also see them going a wing here, like a Stephon Castle, but I feel like they're going to give Jabari Smith Jr. another look or two. So I haven't taken Reed Shepherd. He's like a guy who can like start right away, I think.
I think they could definitely go three, because I think right now locked in for them for sure is their 4 and 5, Jabari Smith, and then Sengun at center.
Right.
You would think Jalen Green is locked in at there too, but like he obviously played well to end the year. But at the same time, Jalen Green is like just your prototypical like Tyler Hero.
Anthony Simons.
Like he's just a microwave bucket getter. Reed Shepherd's a little more of everything. I mean, I could see him be a perfect guy coming off the bench in the first year. And this is a team that I think would have play-in aspirations next year.
Right.
I mean, they almost made it this year. So I think guard is a safe bet, but it's not a guarantee.
Right. And they need shooting, I think, as well. And I think Reed Shepherd is arguably the best shooter here. With the fourth pick, the Spurs, I have him taking Topic. It's the most Spurs pick ever. Overseas guard.
Yeah, I like Topic.
Literally like a Manu, like Tony Parker, just an international point guard. Topic is 6'6", excellent playmaker. Haven't really watched him, but I've read he's not super athletic or defensive-minded, but he's a good like slasher. I think he's kind of got like, I'm not even going to say he's got the Luka mold because he just doesn't, but he's just a big physical guard who I think the Spurs would strictly pick him as a second, as a playmaker for Wimby, as that guy to run pick and roll with Wimby. Topic can't shoot right now, although, again, like when you're projecting shots, it's really tough to tell, but I think Topic is the Spurs pick here just because of probably the IQ playing overseas. It's a different game. I don't know.
Realistically to me, as a Blazer fan,
please.
Irrelevant to me.
Irrelevant
on my do not draft board, anybody that has a G in their position.
Yes,
shooting guard, point guard. I don't care. I don't want to do anything with Reed Shepherd, Dillingham. I don't want to do anything with Topic. They could be great players. I don't want anything to do with them. We drafted Scoot Henderson last year because he is a generational prospect, and he is the guy we want to build around, so we're going to stick with that. So moving on, Pistons is five, right?
And remind me to come back to that, because after we go through this, we're going to talk about like Blazers and why seven is not a bad thing to, not a bad place to pick. Okay, number five, dude. Again, like any of these, I have Bouzelis going five.
Sure.
I have Bouzelis going five. I think this is a perfect fit for the Pistons. I don't think the Pistons go guard here. I think they believe in Cade and Jaden Ivey. I really do. I don't think they go center because they have Jalen Duren. They could go wing. They need a wing. In fact, they're going to go wing. And I think they go with Bouzelis, who's a 6'10 wing who can play, make, and shoot. He's probably the most offensively gifted big, you could argue. Maybe Sar is, but he does a little bit of everything. I guess he's pretty skinny. He's got a small frame. Mm-hmm. I think he kind of had a down season for the Ignite, so his stocks hurt a little bit. But I think he's got the measurables and the offensive upside to play with a Pistons team that needs like front court scoring.
I mean, this was a guy that was top three consensus pick a year ago when we were talking about this draft. He was the guy. He was a top one pick. He was the first overall pick consideration.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think he's that now. Like, Sar is the guaranteed one, but then again, this is a draft. Like, Sar might not go one. You never know. But I don't think Bouzelis would be one of the guys to go one if that was the case. He has a good-looking jump shot, but at the same time, like, I saw he shot 40% in high school, but he shot under 30% for the G League. So hopefully it's just a one-year slump. But it could also be an example of he's playing against more pro-like guys, so he just gets worse. Something to monitor there. But Bouzelis is a guy I would like to see the Blazers give consideration if he's there at 7.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to do a switcheroo here. I have this guy going 6 right now, but I'm going to switch him with the guy going 8 because I think the it could go either way. I think the Hornets take a guard, but I think they're going to take Stephon Castle. I have them taking...
I like that a lot. I have them taking
Dillingham, but I think I'm going to go Stephon Castle, and this is why. They have LaMelo, and I think you got to invest in LaMelo for a little bit longer, but Stephon Castle is kind of that like glue guy. He reminds me of like the undersized wing who does everything. Who does that remind you of? Josh Hart. Yeah. I was going to say Josh Hart. Josh Hart comes from UConn, great IQ, energy, defense. His offense is pretty like limited to just slashing right now. Like he's low-key, he's got like the Aaron Gordon offensive package right now. But he also can develop, and I think he'd be a good like glue guy for the Hornets. Hornets have a lot of good young bigs there. They have LaMelo. Castle can probably play 2, maybe.
He's a guy that can play the 1. Like he's a 1.
Yeah.
But there's also like he could be very, very slightly considered for the Blazers. I have him not in my top 5, but I have him as a guy that like I like slightly for the Blazers, but I would rather not because he is just an example of like. He is 6'6 and a half, but the problem is, like, if you're going to draft your starting 3, you would prefer him to be 6'8, 6'9. Right. He's a guy that, like, I could see him in the future just being being a point guard. Like, he's got the intangibles to play point guard. Josh Hart's a great example. Like, he can handle the ball. He comes from UConn, like you said. Like, he's just a fun player to watch. He's going to contribute day 1, and he's going to be a good NBA player. The question is, can he unlock the shooting that could take him to the next level?
Yes, and I think he's an interesting look for the Blazers at 7. He's not in – I wouldn't pick him if other guys are available, but he's an interesting look because he's got that – he has size, but he's – you know, it depends on where you play him.
Who do you have going 7?
So who do I have going 7? This is what the – this is who I want. This is my number 1 spoiler. This is who I want. Except for I'll take – do I say this now?
Go through the mock draft. We'll talk Blazers specific at the end.
Number 7, I have the Blazers taking Cody Williams. I think he's going to be a guy who – right now he's projected to go high – not high team, like 10, 11, maybe 9. But I think he's going to rise in the draft process. Here's why. 6'8", he probably has like the best like small forward frame, I think, in the lottery. Like he's just he was built in a lab. 6'8", all the right measurables, wingspan, all that, good ball handling, great finisher at the rim. Shooting was but I think the jump shot looks good enough, and he's so young. And his brother is Jalen Williams. Like that matters because like your siblings and he's being successful, and I think the Blazers are in a position to take not a gamble, but a calculated risk with a guy who has a ton of upside. So I like Cody Williams. He also can be a great defender one day because of the measurables.
I really have nothing else to add. Like the 3 things I put in my notes about Cody is he's got length. It's something you like. He's a great finisher at the rim. And while his 3-point shot percentage-wise may have not been elite, he has a good like looking jump shot. And that matters a long way. So if we ended up taking Cody Williams at 7, wouldn't it be mad at all. Stay tuned to see if he's my number 1 as well.
Yeah, so at number 8, I had Castle going 8, but I switched it to him going 6 to the Hornets. I have Rob Dillingham going 8 to the Spurs. Rob Dillingham, he's small, but lead guard, he's just like a microwave. And the reason why I think he goes 8, and then again, the Spurs could trade a pick, but I really think the Spurs are going to take 2 swings on a guard to pair with Wimby, I think. Unless like a guy like Castle or... even like a resale share drops or something, then I think they'd go with that. But I think Rob Dillingham is a perfect guy he's literally reminds me of Maxey a little bit in terms of the athleticism. Great shooter. Like he'll be, if he gets drafted to a bad team, he'll be on the floor day 1 strictly because he can score and space the floor.
Yeah, I was going to say, if the Spurs do go this 2-guard swing, like Antopich hits and Dillingham hits, that's not even a bad thing at the end of the day because, 1-2, Topich could play the 2. Dillingham, while he's more of the size of a point guard, he honestly gives me more shooting guard vibes just because he is kind of a microwave scorer. Like, he, like you said, fits the mold of like a Maxey, even though like I think he could become a guy that can like pass the ball, facilitate right now where he's at. Like, Topich is your passer. Dillingham's your scorer, and Dillingham could be a great microwave scorer off the bench as well. So if they're going to go the 2-guard route, I think that's a pretty good 2 to take.
Yeah. So at 9 for Memphis, I have Donovan Klingon going 9. I think Klingon could go 2. I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, Klingon could go 2 to Washington if Washington, they don't have a center right now. Gafford is in freaking Dallas right now, balling out. I have Klingon going 9 to Memphis. Memphis, I think, needs a center unless they go JJJ at the 5. I mean, a defensive duo in the front court of Klingon and JJJ is really good. Klingon reminds me of Walker Kessler a little bit, I think. Great size, defensive instincts. Again, played at UConn. He's got good touch around the rim. I think he maybe down the line could extend the range a little bit, but that's with these college bigs, if they've got to be able to stretch the floor if they want to be in the NBA for a long time.
And I think the plus with him not being able to stretch the floor right now is if you put him next to a guy like JJJ, he can stretch the floor, so right, it's not the end of the world. We saw they just had Steven Adams. I think this is just a more athletic, boosted version of Steven Adams. Obviously not as strong as Steven Adams, but I think he would fit perfectly with the Grizzlies. Who's next? I believe it's the
Jazz. I have the Jazz going Dalton Connect. I think a lot of people like him for Portland. If he's at 14, then maybe, but I just think Blazers are in position, like, they got to go small forward. Dalton Connect, he's a guy who's ready now. I have him going Utah just because I think Utah, I don't know if they need, like, small guard. I think they're comfortable with Markkanen and Walker Kessler, maybe. John Collins is iffy. I could, at this point in the back half of the lottery, like, who knows? But I have him going Connect because I think he's just a high-floor prospect that I think could help the Jazz now. I think the Jazz have their core, and I think they need guys to complement now. Sure. I don't know.
Not much to add there. I mean, yeah. I think Connect's a guy that realistically could, in his best case scenario, he kind of fits with every team because he's just a guy that can score, like, every team. Like, you'll take a guy that can score. I think he's a little more than that. Like, he's not the worst defender in the world. He can play a little bit of defense. He's not, bringing him in to play defense.
Yeah, I wrote secondary playmaker as well. Like, he can play make.
And he's at Tennessee. He's 6'6", so yeah, it's true. A little scary for the small forward position. But, right. I mean, he could survive.
Okay, 11 for the Bulls. If they get this guy, I think they'll be very happy. I have Ron Holland. He could go much higher. But Ron Holland, to me, is... Ron Holland is an incredible athlete. Projects to be an excellent defender. Scoring the ball, not sure. Offense is definitely lagging behind. But I'm sure an NBA team is going to be like, we can mold him into what we want. I think the Bulls need an injection of youth and athleticism. They are... To me, when I think of the Bulls, old and slow. I know they have, like, Kobe White, but, like, DeMar DeRozan, Vucevic, like, Zach. I mean, Zach Levine's, like, really bad now. So I just think the Bulls could use, like, a Ron Holland. Maybe that makes Patrick Williams expendable. Who knows?
The Bulls really could go anyway. Yeah. Because realistically, this should be a start of a rebuild. Like, they should trade DeMar DeRozan. They should trade Zach Levine. They should trade Vucevic if they even could. But I don't hate that pick. I think... Holland is a guy that I do like a lot. He's another guy. I feel like he could fit on any team. Like, he is just the athlete that can defend. Like,
it's weird. Like,
it's Ron, a nice guy to have.
Ron Holland could go 5 to the Pistons and Buzelis goes 11. Like, that's the thing. Like, literally when I did this mock draft, I built it like one at a time and be like, okay, if Reese Hoshier is gone, who does Houston go with? Like, that type of thing.
Another thing about Holland, he's still only 18 and he's going to be 18 on draft. Another night, thing so about Holland, that's pretty good.
We saw him at the LSI. And he was good.
But he also lost.
He also lost to Shelstad.
But that doesn't hurt because it's Jackson Shelstad.
All right, just to speed things up here on 12 and 13. The Thunder, I have him taking, I don't know how to say this word, Yaviz Missy.
Center.
From Baylor. I think they need size.
Like, but imagine if they got Jared McCain. He would fit right in with the vibes.
He would, but there's so many guards on that team. I think they need size. I think Missy kind of could be like a Duren type, just athletic, good finisher. I don't know. Thunder need anything there, Missy.
Low key, now that I think about it, they could take a shooter, though. Seriously, in all seriousness, Jerry McCain, because right now Josh Giddey's starting at the 2. True. And realistically, they could use a guy that can knock down a 3, because Dort, even though he can shoot the 3 pretty well, he's not a guy you super trust. Jalen Williams can't really shoot the 3 right now. Like, he can shoot it well, but he doesn't take a lot. Shea doesn't shoot the 3, so maybe they take a stretch, but they could also use a lot of size down low. 13.
Okay, 13, Kings. Right now I have Devin Carter. It could be Jacoby Walter. It could be freaking Isaiah Collier. I have Devin Carter. He really impressed people in the combine I read. Hyper athlete, can really shoot, can really drive. Just seems like a Kings guy who fits in that offense. That's just a scorer, like low-key, like a replacement for Malik Monk almost.
Sure. Moving on, we won 14.
Moving on, Portland, 14. This is who I have. I have Tijane Salun. I don't know how to say it. This dude, I've read a lot about him. A lot of you guys like him. I've read on Blazer pages and stuff. Two-way potential as a forward. Great measurables. Very raw. Also French. Athletic. Great defensive potential. Good skill for his size. I think for the Blazers at 14, if you're picking 14, you have got to take an absolute swing. Take the prospect that was like take the Giannis type from 2013. Not saying he's going to turn into Giannis, but take the guy who's like an absolute just long wingspan, length. I mean, we talked about Joe Cronin. We want length and athleticism. Well, here's your guy, length and athleticism. And he's a 3'6", 10", who's got good ball handling skills. So that's who I would go with at 14. If I see like a high floor pick here, I'm going to be pretty mad. Like low ceiling, high floor.
Yeah,
pick.
I prefer a little bit more of a high ceiling, low floor. Yeah, but realistically, that's exactly who this guy is. I don't know much about this guy, but I do know he's a small forward. And I do think the Blazers could go the same route as what the Spurs are doing with taking two point guards. The Blazers need wings badly. So yes. Just take two right now. There's nothing wrong with taking two. I know you have like guys like Jabari Walker, Ryan Rupaire, and things like that, but let's get our guys now. So let's turn focus to the Blazers. I'm going to ask you your top five guys. We're just going to go one by one. Your number one guy is Cody Williams. I think you...
Well, okay. So my number one guy is Sar. Like,
I think we should eliminate Sar.
Okay, we'll eliminate Sar.
Sar's the only guy I think the Blazers are guaranteed not to get.
Okay. I think my top two clear and away are... It's tough. I could go either way. Cody Williams and Reese Oshare. But I think Reese Oshare will be gone. But Reese Oshare and Cody Williams are my first two guys who I want. The third guy that I want, I think, is going to be Bouzelis.
Okay.
I think it's Bouzelis.
I've got Bouzelis on my number three as well. I've got Cody Williams on my number two. Right now at my number one, I've got Ron Holland.
Yeah.
I like Holland a lot because I think the Blazers should just completely lean into this fully athletic team. Like, get Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Ron Holland on the floor together. Those are going to be the three of the best five athletes on the floor. And I do think Holland can score the ball more and can shoot the ball better than he's giving credit for.
So I agree. I can see that. Ron Holland is probably – it's probably four or five for me. Like, right now, number one and two – clear tiers. Top tiers, Reese Oshare and Cody Williams. Then Bouzelis is in his own tier. And then it's Ron Holland and Castle for me would be the last two.
My final two was Reese Oshare at four. I like him. I would love to do a little... Come June when we do another mock draft, he could easily slot up into the top three, top two, even number one. I can't say I know enough about him right now other than the fact that he can shoot the three well. And then five right now, I have Klingon just because if we're going to go a big, I'll take Klingon. Castle's in my maybe pick him. That's one that's like... If you almost like moved up from 14 to 10 and took Castle as the second pick, if like you took Castle and then another wing, I would like that. If Castle's the only like wingish guy you take, I don't know if I love that just because it's giving me too many flashbacks to a three guard lineup, and I'm not sure if I like that. But
yeah, the thing about Ron Holland, if we pick him, I won't be mad. I just think one of Ron Holland or Scoot, it's like the pressure will be on one of them to turn into a plus shooter. Because if neither of them turn into a plus shooter, then you're playing on a court without a 3-point line, basically, and the spacing's bad. Of course, with Anfernee there, I mean, who knows? That's the thing with these guys. Ron Holland for the measurables and defensive upside and just athleticism and youth. I think if we pick him, I won't be mad. I think if we pick him with Cody Williams on the board, I'll probably be a little upset. You could bet Cody Williams goes seven, I would do it right now. I think the Blazers are going to do it. He's like Colorado, Santa Clara, like just West Coast guy. Chauncey Billups went to Colorado.
Who knows if he's even our coach by the draft? We really don't know.
Another thing I want to talk about quickly, or just kind of the strategy for this draft, if you're the Blazers, but also when we're watching its fans, the Blazers at seven, I know it was upsetting, but the Blazers at seven is an interesting spot to me, a good spot even, if Dillingham, Topic, and Reach-Upper are off the board. Because that means you're guaranteed to get one of those guys that we just talked about. Or you're going to have your pick. If Dillingham and Shepard don't go, and all of a sudden, like, Bouzelis goes five, Cody Williams goes six, you know, Klingon went three, and the guards are still there, then the Blazers could be in trouble. But I think the teams in front of us, there are enough of them that really need guard help that I think the Blazers are in a good spot. If the Blazers were behind, like... I don't know, like, who needs wing help? I mean, the Thunder probably are going to go wing. The Bulls are going to go wing. If we were behind those types of teams, I'd be a little more concerned. But, like, if the Spurs don't go guard, like, it better be because Sar dropped to four, in my opinion. Also, I want you to pull up that trade that you told me the other day. The one was like Brogdon, the seconds.
Oh, yeah. I think I could.
If you remember it.
I could try to pull that up right now. One thing while I'm trying to pull this up, some underrated guys I like that I could see us taking at 14, and then a couple guys that I'm just no on. The four guys I'm absolutely no on is Topic, Dillingham, Shepherd, and McCain. Why? They're all
guards.
I'm met on Connect, not super high on him. And then no to Collier, no to Devin Carter, no to Zach Edey, and no to Kyle Filipowski.
So yeah, let's talk about guys at 14. Saloon, obviously, would you be okay with a Missy?
I'm cool with
trade a Time Lord.
I'm cool taking center because I do think that I don't see a future with Time Lord on our team right now. I will say, I'll just go ahead and you can say what you want about them while I'm trying to pull this up. But the three guys that I wrote down as underrated, Jacoby Walter, I think is interesting because he's so lengthy. I'm not saying I want to draft him. He's the third guy on my list, but I wrote him down because if we're going to take a guard type guy, I like him. I like Tristan Da Silva a lot. If we ended up coming out of this draft with Cody Williams and Tristan Da Silva, two Colorado guys, I wouldn't hate it. Throw it in with Jabari Walker. You're just the Colorado Buffaloes at this point. Might as well draft Shador at this point. And then also, if we're going center at 14, maybe get Kello Ware out of Indiana. Went to Oregon for a year.
Yeah.
And also, he's just a great shot blocker. He's also like the Missy, Walker Kessler type of mold.
Yeah, I've seen his name pop around. I think if you're the Blazers, if you can come out of the lottery, assuming you are picking twice and you're not executing a trade or trading back, it would be so Joe Cronin to trade back. To go like trade 14 for like freaking a Banton and 19 or something. But if you get two picks in the first round, you have got it. It has to be. I am eliminating the one in the two positions. Guard, point guard, shooting guard. If there's a G at the end of that position, please do not take it. We already have Scoot, Shaden, Ant. Those are three guys who could legitimately see a future with this team. Of course, most likely one is going to be pushed out. That's for a later discussion closer to the draft if there's some steam picked up around guys, which I'm sure there will be. I like upside. I like measurables. I like athleticism, wingspan. I like youth right now because the Blazers are leaning into the youth movement. Like, to me, Dalton Connect is like, it's just you're not raising the potential of your team with Connect. I think he's a great player, and I think he's going to be – Connect would be like – he'd probably be a perfect Warriors pick. Like, the Warriors would love Connect because they have like, veterans he could play right away. Connect reminds me, like, he's probably a better version, but, like, Christian Braun. Like, that type of player who, like, on a championship team just makes winning plays. Connect is better offensively, I know, but just – that kind of reminded me of that, probably because they're both white, honestly.
Oh, okay, so the trade you were talking about, this is also just kind of a blueprint, a mold of what I could see us possibly doing, but it's trading Malcolm Brogdon, Chris Murray, the 14th pick and the 34th pick to move up in the draft, in this case, to go to 5. Therefore, you have 5 and 7 in the draft. This is a trade I would absolutely do in a heartbeat because I think Malcolm Brogdon's trade value is not high right now. You know me from this podcast. I'm not particularly high on Chris Murray. And then I think if you can find yourself with two top 10 picks, two top 7 picks, then you're suddenly, you could get Ron Holland and Cody Williams. You could get Cody Williams and Matis Buzelis. You could get Reese Hasher and Cody Williams. You completely open up the board to where like now you control it because you know at least 2, maybe 3, maybe 4 of these wings are still on the board by the time your pick's up. I absolutely love a trade like this. I think you could even look into what if you traded Anfernee Simons and I don't know if you would have to throw in 14, Anfernee Simons and Chris Murray for pick number 4. Like,
yeah,
I'm open to things like that too. I'm open to trading Anfernee Simons. I'm open to trading Malcolm Brogdon if it means moving up in the draft. We can talk about
devil's advocate for a second. I do think a lot of people would say, and I'm not sure where I fall on this, but I think a lot of people would say this draft is not worth trading up for. That's only fair. Because if, for example, I know we're using Cody Williams as an example, the Blazers love Cody Williams at 7. Like, chances are, unless he just blows away people at the combine, you can get him at 7. Now, if you loved a, like we said, a Buzelis and a Cody Williams, then maybe you do that. But, like, I wouldn't use a an asset like Ant on this draft. I would rather go get use Ant to go get players if we were going to deal Ant. I'm not saying I want to do that or we should. Hypothetically, if we did, I'd rather it be for a more established player right now.
Perfectly fair. This could just be me getting excited about us having two lottery
picks. Yes, yes, two lottery picks. But, you know, we were even reminiscing even on the times when we traded Damian Lillard. I'm sure you guys forgot about that. It feels like he's been in Milwaukee for years now. That was crazy. That was only last summer. We're not even on a year yet. But we had a great discussion on should we have kept Dame because he's the proven player or just keep in the lottery just waiting and waiting for someone to hit and get that star. Like, that's the thing the Blazers need. They need a guy. I don't think there's the guy in this draft. But I think there are players who can be extremely good in their role, like a Wesley Matthews or Nick Batum, that can really bring the team together. Like, I think Scoot, Shaden, and Ayton, I'm being optimistic, I think they could be pillars in their peak form. They could be pillars. Now you need a 3 and a 4 to, really bring the team together. Yeah, you could disagree with me.
Here's another thing, and this is the exact same conversation we were having when Dame requested his trade, and we were as hot as could be, but it's still relevant today, and I still believe it. The reason we traded Dame and the reason we are now in this rebuild is because we think Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe can be future All-Stars. I don't think you need to look at this draft and say, if we don't find the All-Star, then we're screwed. Because if you're saying that, then you're saying we don't have our All-Star now. You don't need 5 All-Stars to win a championship, to compete for a championship. You realistically need a top 10 player, another All-Star around him, and maybe one more All-Star caliber player. If you think Scoot Henderson is this generational prospect that we drafted, we have the guy we're building around. We need to be building around Scoot Henderson right now because we traded our best player in franchise history to build around him. Yep. Now, we can go into the conversation of if that was smart or not, but I'm going to put all my stock in Scoot Henderson right now because it's kind of what we have to do. Unless we end up bottoming out another year and we want to get a guy like Cooper Flagg or someone in next year's draft, which is supposed to be another amazing draft. So, I am perfectly content with getting guys that fit roles. Don't do the best player available. I don't think you should do that in this
draft. Well, I think they're both guys that fit. And by roles, we strictly mean a wing or forward. Like, that's what we mean. We're not drafting Cody Williams to be a role. I mean, we want him to be like a second option. If he can be like his brother, that'd be great. But I do want to see us take some swings on guys who could be more than just role players, but they have to fit the role of a forward.
Final question for you. So I think you could say that the 4 forwards, if you could say the top 4 people I want to pick right now, not including Sar, obviously, Reese Usher, Cody Williams, Holland, and Bouzelis in that order. Maybe Holland's not in there. Is there any of those 4 that you would say, if 3 of them are off the board and it's Klingon versus Holland, I would take Klingon over him or something? Or I would take, I don't even know if there's another guy in the top 10 that you would say, don't want one of the forwards.
No, I would take one of those 4. I would take one of those 4. I think
Castle over any of those?
I probably would take Klingon over Castle. Ah, it's hard. Maybe Klingon and Castle are tough, which is funny. They play for the same team. I just think 3 or 4 has got to be the position that Joe Cronin really and Mike Schmitz go in depth on. And I think at 7, you're going to have one of those guys available. If you were picking 4, then maybe we're picking 7, and if the draft goes Dillingham, Shepherd, Topic 3, 4, 5, then we're gonna be set 7's good. We missed out on a top 4 pick, but they were all guards, which is not what we want. So I don't know. I think time will tell on if 7 was a good spot to fall into, as it typically always does with this type of stuff.
I'll be very curious to see if the Blazers end up settling on they have their guy. And if that's the case, could we possibly see us move up in the future? Who knows? That's all we have for today. Our first mock draft of the summer. We'll have one more before the draft comes out, and we'll be talking all draft for the next month. It's the biggest night of the Blazers offseason.
It is.
And that's a serious thing.
Crown Summer League champions.
And when we're champions, we don't even want to get into that. I highly advise you, I really do, it would be very fun if you went back and just listened to some old podcasts. Listen to the one when Dame requested a trade. Listen to the one where the Blazers were 10-4 to start the season in 2023. It's really fun. We're learning that we are very in the moment. But there's also a couple good takes in there, and there's a couple really funny things looking back on that. We've been listening to that for the last couple of days, and it's been very enjoyable. So that's all we got for today. Thank you for listening, guys. Make sure to go follow our TikTok, of course, for more NBA content all about the NBA, NBA trivia as well over there. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to give us 5 stars, and we'll see you guys next time. Peace.